All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Word Bros. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
That's a lot of welcomes.
I mean, I'm very excited that you're here.
I'm very excited to see you, too.
Yeah,
so... We only get to see each other, like, once a week, but to this week, on the commemorative monolith, like, extra...
Year two, bro. This is year two, Word Bros.
Gluten-free year two of Word Bros.
So I didn't know we were going gluten-free.
We're gluten-free Word Bros. We're the only podcast that's gluten-free.
All right, that's weird, but good, okay.
Yeah, because how many other podcasts can say they're gluten-free?
I don't know. Like
none!
Does that mean like the podcast doesn't contain gluten?
Or that is exactly what it means.
Or we don't eat gluten.
I mean, because I don't really eat gluten. Do you eat gluten?
I'm not even really sure. I eat bread.
That has
gluten in it. I don't really.
But the podcast itself is gluten free. It's like, it's not low calorie or anything. It fills you up.
But yeah.
With Word Bros, you're like, wow, I feel very satisfied with that helping, the extra man sized helping of Word Bros.
All right. You're getting a little weird on me. all right. So this week we're talking to Jamie Jones. I'm excited about that. Jamie's got a lot of irons in the fire. Not that he's super busy. Just got a lot of stuff going on, so it's very cool. He's not overworked or anything like that, but he's having a good time. He's trying to make books, and he wanted to come on the pod, so we're going to have him on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so...
And here's Jamie Jones.
There you go. Beats by Dre or whatever. Those things are. They're really intense.
They're not on my ears.
Yeah, they're like, they almost, your headphones almost look like earmuffs. Like you're like, chilly.
He's very fashionable. He's got very fashionable. Like we're all plugged in and look all like guys wearing headphones. And he's like, yo, I got my Beats by Dre on. He's
almost
like commercial. He's like,
I've got my mood lighting, mood light.
Yeah, I saw your mood light the other day on Instagram. I thought that was cool. It was very dramatic. Yeah,
it was very dramatic.
I was like, wow, look at how handsome he looks. That's amazing. All right, so this week on Word Bros, we're talking to Jamie Jones. Jamie Jones is a wonderful artist who's done all kinds of wonderful books. You've done Five Ghosts, correct?
Yes, I did the Five Ghosts special number one, like right before that book ended, they did a special.
Okay, all right. So that was you killed five ghosts. You jerk.
Yeah.
God, Jamie, I love that book, and you ruined it. Now,
it is one of my favorite books.
It is great, isn't it? Yeah.
That first arc is amazing.
Yeah, that first arc. Well, because are you talking about the first arc, the mini, or the first arc as in, because at first it was a mini, and then it did two arcs, and then Jamie's book.
Okay,
it did three arcs.
Oh, there was three arcs?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's three trades. Yeah.
Okay.
The first trade. That's all I've read, because Barbieri thought I was Drew Moss and was like, I love Terrible Lizard. And I'm like, that's amazing that you love Terrible Lizard. And he's like, no, I'm Frank Barbieri. You're Drew Moss. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not Drew Moss. Drew Moss is the bigger Asian dude. I'm just Drew Moss's sidekick. I'm Robin. Batman's not here right now. He went to the bathroom. and then Barbieri started laughing. He said, I'll give you a book too.
That's cool. I mean, that's nice to get free things. Now, how did you hook up with Frank and get to be a part of the Five Ghost train? That's awesome.
So my first ever published thing was a shop exclusive cover for Solar Man of the Atom.
Okay.
And Frank wrote that book. And it was at Heroes Con. And I was a huge fan of Five Ghosts. And I tweeted at him. I was like, I'm a huge fan of Five Ghosts. I did a variant cover for your book. I'll buy and I'll give you one. And he was like, oh, dude, I really liked your cover. And I was like, oh, that's sweet, awesome, great. And then I went to his table, like, the first hour of the first day.
like a psychopath.
You couldn't contain your excitement, Jamie, could you?
Right. And I handed him the cover, and he was like, I don't know why, but they gave me two tables. Do you want the one next to me?
Wow, that's cool.
And so I moved all my stuff from the boonies. 'Cause it was this year will be my fifth year at Heroes Con, but that was my first year at Heroes Con.
Okay.
Well, that's an amazing first year Heroes Con.
Oh, it was insane. It was insane. And then Frank was like, yeah, come sit with me. And he was like, I really like your stuff. Let's figure out something to do. So
that's awesome. So, like, you just jumped right in the deep end. Like, you're not playing around here. Like, you went from doing, like, a comic book sketch cover of a book to Frank Barbieri's like, all right, we're doing a book together. You're sitting next to me at Heroes. Like, that's amazing. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. You're like Ray Liotta in fucking Goodfellas. Like, you just walk right in and that's it, you know?
That's been my MO. That's if you look like you're supposed to be there, then you're supposed to be there.
That's amazing. That's a really cool story. It's so much fun to hear people's stories about comics. Like, we had Kyle Starks on, who was nominated for another Eisner, so congratulations to him. He got in because he gave Fraction a copy of Sex Castle at Heroes, and Fraction's plane was running late, and Matt read his book and was like, this is amazing. So it's just so fun to hear how people do it, you know?
And Sex Castle... it's such a good book.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle's such a wonderful guy. Like, he's just such a fun cat. But yeah, but enough about Kyle Starks. Let's talk about you, man. Let's talk about what you're doing and what's shaking. And it's cool because you wanted to come on the podcast because you listened to this malarkey, I guess.
Well, you had like I'm good friends with Emily Pearson.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yes.
I know Rafer a little bit, but you know, just kind of at shows. Which is apparently the best way to know him.
Yes.
Who else? Oh, and Tony Gregory.
Okay. So we've had on a bunch of your friends, basically.
He started listening because he was like, oh, my friend is on this podcast. I should support my friend.
That is exactly why.
Who are these two jabronis that are hosting this podcast? Well,
Kevin and I met at Heroes Con last year. So.
And the year before that, but I don't think I met Trace, not last year, but the year before. But I saw Trace last year, but I didn't see him as much as I did the year before because
he
was consistently out on the balcony where Donovan holds audience. So once he is intoxicated.
We don't want to slander anybody here.
I'm not slandering. I'm telling the truth, bro. He said, I know.
I know. So, okay.
Last year was pretty crazy.
I mean, Kevin always talks how great Heroes is. I haven't been in 3 years. Has it been three? It's been 2 years. I'm going this year.
2 years, because the first year I went to Heroes, you were there.
Yeah. So I haven't been in 2 years, so I'm going this year. So it should be fun. I just want to hang out with Kevin and watch him hobnob with all the big shots.
Why are you being
eaten, man? You always have all these great stories. Every show Kevin goes to and I'm not around, it's like, yeah, I was kicking it with Superstar A of Comic, and I got to meet this awesome editor-in-chief here. When I go to shows with Kevin, we literally hang out at, like, Fridays. And
it's karaoke.
It's just him and I, you know? I want to witness it firsthand. But you were interested. You heard us talking about pitching, and you have your own stories and ideas and kind of
theory. Input. Yes,
input about pitching. So, Jamie, the floor is yours, my man.
Oh, all right. My input on pitching.
Yeah, dude.
Man, pitching's tough.
Jamie Jones, everybody.
It is not,
you know, I hated it when I was doing it. And then when I finished my first like real pitch The problem was I had never pitched by myself before.
Oh, okay.
So like when you guys were talking about pitching all the time, I was like, I'm going through this. But I'm good friends with Vida Ayala, and she was like talking me through stuff. So like I would send it over, and they would send back just like a detailed list of all the things I needed to change.
We've talked about this before, and I guess we'll bring it up again. It's such a different skill set. Like writing a comic is completely different than writing a pitch. A pitch is almost like a sales document. Like you almost need to have like a salesman work on you or a salesperson work on your pitch for you, because I can't do that.
And that's where I found peace in it. Is when once I started, I was like, all right, I got to figure out a way to sell this. It was just about figuring out the language to make the book sound more impressive than it actually is.
That's awesome. I mean, if
an editor is listening to this, it's pretty impressive.
Of course you're trying to, you know, make magic out of nothing, you know, but it almost feels like disingenuous to some extent, you know, like you're using words that that you never use in actual conversations, and you're beating your thesaurus to death on your Microsoft Word program, you know?
It's weird because pitches are the only things writers write for the artist. The artist is drawing for the reader, but you're writing pitches for an editor.
Yeah.
And that's the hard thing, is you're so not in that mindset and you're so not in that brain. And then when you're like, all right, I got to write this pitch, I got to use the heady language that somebody like, and kind of make my idea more poignant, where, you know, some librarian down the road is going to be like, oh, this is this I can give to kids, because it's not just
filth. Sex and violence. Yeah.
It's not filth. Yeah, and I am, my pitches have all been all ages stuff, so it's...
Okay.
It's writing things where it's like, this is what you want your kid to read to grow up to be a good person.
See, the weird thing about doing like an all ages pitch was because I pitched Monty to Action Lab, and like the tone of that pitch was very casual, because I mean, like, we're not talking about life and death here. Like, we're talking about a dinosaur that likes eating cookies. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it was a lot more kind of relaxed and like an easier pace to it, where I feel like when you do something that's quote unquote adult oriented, like you have to kind of ramp up the drama or like the importance of the piece, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And I'm trying to bridge the gap between the book I pitched is called Grok Spaceman.
Okay.
And
what was my exact words in my pitch document? It's, the adventures of a time-displaced caveman who is the leader of an away team of a spaceship not unlike the Enterprise.
Okay.
So it's Looney Tunes meets Star Trek.
Okay.
Bob is in.
All right, so it's like Unfrozen. It's like Unfrozen caveman lawyer in space.
Exactly.
All right, I'm into that.
So he... and so it's really just... like this pulp action story, but I feel like so much of pulp action is now noir.
Yes.
Not like I want to do nothing that would come on after Samurai Jack.
Okay.
Like in that time slot. Because I grew up in the 90s, and like my whole, that was my bedtime. My bedtime changed when Dexter's Lab went on an hour, half an hour later. But Samurai Jack was the last show before Toonami kicked in.
Okay.
And Toonami was like definitively more adult. It was like, yeah, this is the awesome, cool high school kids watching this. It was all edgy, and like I never got too into it, but I was all about Samurai Jack.
Yeah.
And I never wanted any I don't know if I can actually do anything more than Samurai Jack, like in a more adult way, but I mean, that's my kind of my bar and set. So I'm trying to pitch something that's like, what is as beloved as Samurai Jack, or what is beloved as Samurai Jack in a way that adults love it and kids love it for the same reason.
Yes.
And that's the tricky thing. It's like finding that perfect Flintstones moment where you're sharing the same laughter with your kid.
Yeah.
So that's how I pitched it. Basically, I was like, this is the thing that I pitched it not as an all ages book, but as a family book. Okay. And I hope that worked.
Now, where did you send this thing?
Humanoids.
What's that?
They're the European company.
You're the fancy son of a gun. Listen to you. You're shipping comics overseas. I'm big overseas.
They actually just started. I'm looking. I pitched it at Lionforge as well.
Okay.
Humanoids just started a department in America. I don't know if this is okay. Like hearsay or just things, but I got an contact and I sent it to them.
That's awesome. And that's the thing too. It's just like when you're pitching, like you're going through your Rolodex. You can't hear me at all? Those fancy headphones stopped working.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Just taking off the fancy headphones.
Can you hear me?
Did
they
die?
They must have.
That's unfortunate.
But like, yeah, you're going through your Rolodex of people trying to find someone, anyone who might like this pitch. And it's just like the act of desperate people, you know?
Well, bow ties are bigger in Europe too.
They are.
This is true. And I was actually drawing and working on it in the European format.
Oh, cool. Okay. So
it like kind of just fell in my lap where it was the right thing, the right people at the right time.
Okay.
And I would, I don't know, can I send you something? Can
sure.
I send
you something? Yeah.
I don't know if that's, like, on, like, tonight. I will definitely send it to you.
Yeah, send us stuff.
We like stuff.
And I love all ages books. I have a passion project that I've been trying to get done forever called Danger Bear. And it's very similar to the idea of, like, a pulp action hero who's a talking bear.
Like, that's...
So and where I, we actually even went over and re-outlined the script together.
Yes,
so
like
long ago.
I've been working on this thing like forever, and I've tried to suck Kevin into it, and he's just he just doesn't want to do any more talking to animals.
That's not true. I helped him. We redid the outline for the script, and he was like, we should do Danger Bear like next, and I'm like, no, we have like Dust Pirates, and we have other stuff we're doing, and he's like, but then Danger Bear.
I love Danger Bear. The idea of Danger Bear is just, it's, I love, like, I went to the zoo with my kids one day and my daughter said something hilarious. And I was like, all right, I'm going to make that comic book. And I'm still trying to make Danger Bear, but man, it's hard. And then Spy Seal came out, which kind of
was almost the same thing as Danger Bear. So we revamped it.
Spy Seal is more...
More James Bond, where Danger Bear is more Mission Impossible.
No. Spy Seal is a book about a seal, but it ain't an all ages book.
Okay.
I don't know if
it is. It is all ages in the sense that there are no curse words.
Yes, exactly. Like there are adult. It's. I would say it's kind of like PG-13 all ages stuff. If that makes sense.
Okay. No, yeah.
You know, because I got the book because I was stoked about it. I was like, this looks awesome. And I got it and I brought it home and I read it to my 7-year-old daughter. And I was like, I should have done some more research about this before. I was like, let's read this thing. And she's like, Dad, I don't know. You know, like there's people getting shot and dropping dead. And it was intense, but it's cool. I like Spicy. I thought it was neat. But yeah.
Yeah, it's just on my shelf right over there.
but I think there is a place for that, like, because if you think back to like pulp comics in its heyday, they are newspaper strips that are violent but not bloody. They are action packed but not overdone. Like there is romance, but it's not sex. I think you can kind of get that done in an all ages kind of world.
I 100% agree. The old pulp stuff is my bread and butter.
Like that's like I got this at like a comic shop for like $5. It's all this like.
And it's so good.
It's amazing. It's like, so good. It's awesome. And then I also have the Alex Toth Zorro stuff that he did too,
which is so good.
Also great. You know what I mean? But like, it's all ages in the sense where like kids can read it because it's not overly violent. It's not overly sexy. But there is. There's undertones. Elements, yeah. You know, like yeah, I like the way you think, Jamie.
I'm a huge Spirit fan.
Oh, the Spirit's the best.
That's, yeah. I mean, it really is the pinnacle. It really is.
Did you guys
the
just become best friends? Do Maybe. I need to, I'm going to leave the podcast. It's good that Jamie's taking over my place.
No, it's just, I mean, I think there is a place for these kind of works that don't, like Jamie said, have to be noirish, you know?
It's, I'm actually working on the book keeps getting longer. And if you're on Twitter, it's, I'll post about the baboon.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And it looked cool. That was great.
It is my love letter to like pulp action stuff from the 40s.
Yeah.
Where it's bright colors. I don't have a lot of noir style stuff going in. It is a book about an uncle and his sidekick nephew. you know, and their team of adventurers, but it is originally the book was going to be 22 pages and then it turned to 25 pages, which is then was like, well, if I'm already going over, I might as well just do like the first two issues into one book. And then that's turned into like a 60 page.
Now you've got a graphic novel on your hands, sir.
Right. Exactly. So
now you're just a crazy person. Like that's, this is because like, you're just insane. That's all.
I say this now, which with, complete like this will be taken out of context. I have no interest in doing like monthly comics anymore. I just want to do. I love doing. I don't even feel like doing like the big graphic novel thing. I like 60 page books. Like Tintin, I think is the perfect length.
Okay.
There's what a lot of Tintin books. I don't know exactly, but they're all 60 pages.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of like it's three issues in modern standards now.
Okay. And I can see that.
Once you hit the fifth issue, once you go to like, you're writing a five issue arc, it's half a year.
At least 5 months, you know? At least. Yeah.
5 months. It's almost half a year.
Right.
It's just too long to keep hold of the audit. I get lost. I mean, there's so many other things you're reading. You're trying to track this story for 5 months, and it's so short in your reading. I'd much rather, I mean, I've switched pretty much primarily to trades now, reading.
Me but, too.
yeah, I mean, it's so much easier, but you're also, and I hate the idea of writing for the trade, but if you're writing.
That's what it's built on now.
Yeah.
The
trade. Yeah. See, I'd rather do, like, Kevin and I are working on Metal Shark Bro right now, and we're shipping that thing around. That's what we were bitching about trying to get the pitch done for. And, like, right now, with two issues, we could end a first arc with two issues, and it'd be, like, 48 pages long. I think that's pretty awesome. Like,
that is what I like. And I also think it's kind of more old-school comics when things only went for two issues. You had two-issue arcs.
Yeah.
Because that's... You never knew if you were going to get a next issue.
And that's two issues. I mean, you can tell a nice story in two issues, 48 pages.
It's over 48 pages for both, because the first one's 36.
No, it's about, I'm telling you, it's about 48 pages. Like, we can work it out to about 48 pages. And I mean, that's almost like Longbow Hunters, how it was almost like,
Micro.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but there's a term for it that I can't think of.
A prestige format?
It was a prestige format where it's like a little bit longer than a regular issue. It's got like a thicker cover than a regular issue. Like, I'd be just happy doing that, you know, and just telling stories that I want to tell and get things done that way, you know?
And then we'll just hop to the next one because that's how we do things.
Anyway. Yeah.
You and I are like, let's drop a couple issues and then hop on to the next thing. And
yeah.
That's exactly how we do it.
And if it's a self-contained story, there's no problem doing that.
Yeah.
It's just
when... Yeah, and that's the hard part too about doing like indie books where you're, you know, you're the publisher, you're the financial backer, you're the promoter, you're the, because I mean, you just don't have the resources to do like a 5-issue arc on your own. You just can't afford to do it. So it's almost best to tell like one shots or like 2-issue arcs. And then, cause you can feasibly get 2 issues done of something.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well, I'm looking to have Baboon done by, and like printed for New York. That's what my hope is.
That's so cool. Now, we'll if I wanted to see Baboon, if I wanted to see the stuff you're working on, you have a Patreon, correct?
Yes, I do.
Tell us about that.
Patreon.com/Bowtie Press.
Okay.
Which is my, like, what I've, anything that I do that's just completely creatively me is Bowtie Press. So I do Baboon. I have this little sketchbook that I've been doing that I have to like actually upload, but it's just a comic book that I'm doing in a sketchbook called Flying Monkey.
Ooh, fun. I'm in. I like that.
He mentioned monkey.
I was like, ooh.
Him.
Yeah, I call it my sketchbook manga.
Okay.
It's like very quick little story that I'm doing. I've gotten like 12 pages done of it so far.
That's awesome. And then you have this Whisperer thing too, correct?
Yes, the Whisperer is my has become the bane of my existence, but also like the thing I'm kind of most proud of.
Okay.
The bane of my existence in the sense that I'm working with a bunch of different writers and it's like wrangling cats.
Oh, that's cool. That's fun. That sounds awesome.
So it's an anthology book. A play on the legacy trope in comics. So I created a character called the Whisperer in the first issue. Issues are about 5 pages. That doesn't, I say it's their 5 pages, but no writer has ever turned in 5 pages. always more. I created a Whisperer character from in the first issue. It's a 5-page story. And he is killed. The issue is actually his eulogy and his giving the eulogy.
Okay.
And at the end of it, he puts on the Whisperer's mask to take up the mantle and said, the last line is, may his legacy live on. And then every issue is written by a different writer.
Oh, that sounds fun.
A completely different character wearing the Whisperer mantle.
Okay.
Or as the Whisperer. So like Vita Ayala did the second issue and it's Whisperer 2080. And it's
that's awesome,
super fun. My brother wrote an issue, and it's my like Mobius style one. Oh, they're all drawn in a different style.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
So it's what started off as a way for me to just like study different artists became this much bigger thing. I'll give you guys a couple of issues. They're the first trade is what I'm calling it. Okay. The first wave is the first 6 issues.
Are you going to print that out too?
Yeah, I'll have stuff for print at Heroes.
That's awesome. Okay. That sounds really neat.
Also, it's a lot of fun. It's kind of the lineup that I have is kind of all-star right now, which is nice. Frank Barbieri did one.
Wow.
In the first wave. Trace Dean did one. Of course, he's like he will never escape me. Being a writer. He was the first guy I ever did a comic book with.
Okay.
We're kind of constantly working. And then, who else? Ryan Ferrier.
Nice.
We just did A Constant Distraction for Violent Love, which was the backup story in Violent Love.
Okay, with Barbieri, okay.
Frank was like, hey, we need a backup story for my book to be long enough. And he hooked us, and he hooked me and Ryan up.
That's awesome.
I owe so much of my career to Frank at this point.
Hey, dude, that's what comics seems to be, though. Like, people kind of helping each other out and just being positive and keeping things moving. So that's awesome.
Or but someone doing what Frank did for him and taking them under his wing and saying, hey, like, I can help you out.
Yeah. So. And it seems cool too, because you seem to be kind of wanting to walk this line of, you want to do like published work by major publishers and getting your stuff out there, but you're also content doing things that you want to do. And I think Kevin and I have that kind of same internal struggle. Like, do we want to see our books in shops and pitch to publishers, or do we just want to be publishers and do our own shit? It's a weird kind of balance. Yeah. You know,
and it's almost a different kind of comic at that point too. Like, yeah. I'm not the baboon and the whisper and Grok are so niche in their makeup that I don't know if a publisher would ever like really give the 100%, like, let's go, let's do this,
yeah,
kind of thing. But I mean, I can do it.
But I guess the dream is, like, if you get to a certain point in your career where your name, the name Jamie Jones, kind of sells books on its own, somebody will go, oh yeah, sure, we'll do that.
Like,
that's,
exactly.
You know, that's the dream. But I mean, I feel like
Stuart Immonen has a really cool career.
Yeah.
Like, I have, you know, his X-Men book is right over there, but I also have, like, Moving Pictures is on my bedstand right now. So, like, which are two very different style books, but
yeah.
I mean, that guy draws better than anybody, so it doesn't really count. But I was listening to an interview with Phil Hester the other day, and when I was starting off, I wanted to be the guy who had my books at Marvel and DC, but also at Fantagraphics. And that's what I would like, you know, to be able to do kind of all of it.
I mean, that's the dream. I would say that's everybody's dream that wants to do comics. I mean, I don't think anybody, I mean, I've heard people say, I don't want to do any Marvel or DC books, I'm not interested. But I mean, everybody kind of starts there, you know, as a kid, when, I mean, that's the first things you see.
Yeah.
You know, it's impossible to say that you're not influenced by something from your childhood that you liked, you know what I mean? From one of those two companies.
For sure. And I have 3 years of Legion of Superheroes if DC is listening.
So that would be your go-to if Jamie Jones had a dream project to pitch to DC, it would be Legion of Superheroes?
If I could do it for 3 years, yes. but that or Adam Strange is...
Ah, good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love that guy's jetpack. It's amazing.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I hate his new costume. Whenever they change up Adam Strange's costume and give him like bulky armor, I think it's stupid. But it comes back to the like sci-fi pulp stuff that I like so much. Why change it?
Yeah. But now you also have done really weird comics like Joey Ryan Big in Japan, right?
I have done that.
And how did you hook up with that? Like,
The El Rey Network a while ago did Lucha Underground books.
Okay.
Which we love Lucha Underground. Yeah. If you've listened to like the earlier episodes of the podcast, Bobby and I both were talking about our love for Prince Puma.
Yeah, Prince Puma's awesome.
So we like Prince Puma. So.
Yes. Well, I drew the Dario Cuarto. Interestingly, the editor for the book, who is now the owner of Cheeto Comics, which is the guys who put out Joey Ryan.
Okay.
He brought all of the people that were brought in the book. I did one. Tony Gregory did an issue. It was a bunch of one shots, all featuring the characters. It was the interim between like season one and two.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he brought the team, everyone's sample pages, and was like, hey, these are the guys we're going to hire. This is what we want to do. Pick the characters that you guys want them to do. And the team said, we like, and they were talking about me, they were like, we like his stuff. It's the most superhero-y. We're going to give him Dario. And there's no wrestling in that book whatsoever. Like, it is a bunch of guys standing around talking. That was...
Awesome.
But I did get to draw Mendeza before he appeared on the TV show. So that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
That is cool.
I had one picture. it was like, they didn't send me the picture of the costume because he hadn't had a costume shot yet. They hadn't sent me the costume shot until like the day I had to draw the picture.
That's awesome.
It was the most under wraps thing.
so you're
like a year later, Ivan was like, "Hey, we're gonna do a Joey Ryan book. I got the Joey Ryan likeness. You're gonna draw it." And I said, "Okay."
As long as you got paid, right? That's all that matters.
Yeah, and yeah. Trace Dean wrote that book.
Oh, cool. Too. Okay. So you were literally like all over the landscape here. Like you're doing everything.
He's doing superheroes. He's doing wrestlers. He's doing Legion of Superheroes for 3 years eventually.
Eventually, yes. Eventually. Mike Perkins and I, Mike just went over to DC, but we have a bet at who will draw Legion first.
Oh, all right. Well, I hope you win.
It's going to be me.
I put my money on you, Jamie. If you're a wrestler, since we talk about wrestling a lot, would you be a heel or would you be a face? I think it's pretty obvious.
I think knowing my career as an actor, I would probably get cast as a face, but I would want to be a heel.
Now, I had no idea you had a career as an actor. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that was... I am a stage actor. That was... what I did for a very long time. I was on actor track until one morning I woke up and was like, I think I want to draw comics instead of doing this acting thing.
Interesting. Okay.
That's amazing. That's, see, so you learn interesting facts.
That's awesome. Now, did you
I
go
used to
like,
be a musician?
So. Yeah. Kevin was in like a rock and roll band.
Yeah. For 12 years.
Yeah. And like they were like on what? Sharon Osbourne's label?
Divine Records. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before it went bankrupt.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
you'd have never guessed because I don't look anything the same.
So. Yeah, but you do have a good beard. That's a quality beard.
I try, man. Even with the dye job, I'm gonna throw myself under. See, because Bobby would be a face too. If he was a wrestler, Bobby would be a face. I don't care what he says. He would not be a heel.
I could do both. I wouldn't mind being like an American Dream Dusty Rhodes style guy. Like that's my dude.
Well, I mean that's kind of it.
That's
number one thing.
Yeah, just like a very kind of loud and obnoxious, boisterous fellow talking about how wonderful he is all the time. Yeah, I can do
that. Would totally be a heel. I would be a heel. Like, look at the beard. I would be a heel. Like, I
think so. Yeah. I think you got the heel thing going on.
I'm instantly a heel. So
I'm into it.
So it would be weird because I'd be tagging up with this face over here.
I mean, it's sometimes that's how it works, you know? Well, Jamie, man, I really appreciate you coming on. We really appreciate having you. Your Patreon, it's Bowtie Press. Check that out. You got all kinds of stuff going on. And you got all kinds of stuff going on. Like, it's pretty impressive.
Where can we find you? On Twitter.
Art of Jamie Jones on, like, all social media.
There you go.
That's smart. I would be the writer... and probably the publisher would be remiss if I didn't say. you can go to kickingice.com.
Okay. That's
a book I'm working on right now. It is a all-ages sports book about girls playing hockey.
That's awesome.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah. Stephanie Phillips is writing it, and she's really cool.
Doing everything. You have your hands in everything over there. Like, how do you find time to talk to us and you got all this stuff going on? Look at you, guys.
You know, it's really impressive. I wrote 6 pages today, and I drew 3, so I was able to figure it out. So
stud. All that while wearing a bow tie. That's really impressive. Well, Jamie, man, it was a pleasure talking to you. We'll see you at Heroes. I'm looking forward to it. And check him out on Patreon. Bowtie Press on Patreon, everybody. Jamie Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we'll be in Huntington. Jamie Jones, everybody. Go to Patreon. Bowtie Press is his name. He's also on the tweeters and all that stuff. Art of Jamie Jones. Yeah, good dude. Guy's doing everything, man. It's crazy.
He's great. Yeah. He was like really fun to talk to because, funny enough, he listened to the pod and decided like he would like to come talk to us.
He had his own opinions about stuff, which is cool.
Well, and you know, it's weird when people want to talk to us, and we're not used to that yet. It's getting to be cool.
I'm excited that he was excited to come on because he wanted to talk about pitching and all kinds of comic making stuff. So that was very cool, man. So. Good job, Jamie. Thank you for coming on. It was pretty, pretty, pretty great.
It was very great.
Yeah, good guy. Good guy. Check him out online, Facebook, all that stuff. Art of Jamie Jones, and he's on Patreon at Bowtie Press. So there you go, dudes. That's the show this week. We'll be back next week, hopefully. This is our 1 year. We've been doing the show for 1 year. 41.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, well, the last episode that we posted was about a one-year mark. So this is...
Oh, I thought the 41st episode would be the one-year mark commemorating the whole 41 thing.
Nah, man, it's been... last week was 1 year of Word Bros.
So wow.
This starts year two of Word Bros.
Word Bros, year two.
Yeah, man.
It's gonna get darker, grimmer, and more adult.
Yeah, we're getting gritty here, dude.
No, probably not. Well, if you like the show and you listen to it, please go on iTunes and leave us a review. Yeah. We need more of those.
It helps.
The last time we got one was like in August of 2017.
Oh, so. Nobody needs to know that. Don't boast about our failures.
That's not a failure. I mean, that's the last time we got like one I could read. Like it says we have 10 of them, but I can only read like 5 of them. I'm like, wow. What did the other people say?
Well, I don't think they just left a rating. They didn't write. They didn't.
Well, we got all good ratings. They're all 5-star ratings.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. So please leave us a 5-star rating if you enjoy the show, so people can find it easier and also enjoy the show.
Yeah,
because we enjoy the show.
Do it.
Please.
No, just do it.
You can find us at Word Bros on Twitter.
Yeah, that's us. At, it's what the word.
The word bros.
It's word_bros and thewordbros.com. So there you go. So thank you for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.